This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49, Monday the 29th of May, and of course you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, artificial intelligence has taken most of us by surprise by the speed of its development and adoption this year, even though as a tool, it has not reached commercial viability.
Countries like China are also leading the AI R&D country in Asia, leveraging AI to implement smart cities by using real-time data in a city brain system from various sources, such as traffic cameras, social media to optimize traffic flow, reduce congestion, and improve emergency responses.
According to reports, the global AI market is expected to reach 843 billion ringgit by 2025, with ASEAN countries only contributing to a small amount of the percentage. Can Malaysia tap into the region's vast potential and position itself as a leader in the region?
For insights on the integration of AI into a country, we have with us Dr. Siah Chin Chin, Program Director and Senior Lecturer of Business and Law at Taylor's Law School. Good morning, Dr. Siah. Now, help us understand, what are the different AI implementations that the Malaysian government can actually use to advance our country towards the future?
Okay, thank you very much. And before I start talking about implementation, maybe let's look at the definition of AI as defined by the OECD. Actually, AI is defined as a machine-based system that can, for a given set of human-defined objectives, make predictions, recommendations, or decisions influencing real or virtual environments. It does so by using machine and or human-based inputs to perceive real and or virtual environments, abstract perceptions into models through analysis in an automated manner, and use model inference to formulate options for information or action. Generally, AI systems are designed to operate with varying levels of autonomy. So, as mentioned by one of the DJs earlier on, traffic flow is among one of the seven potential AI implementations by the Malaysian government. So as mentioned previously, traffic flow analysis using AI could actually be effective if it is properly used to reduce certain road safety issues. And also other potential AI implementations include task automation via chatbots. I think most of us are familiar already because this is already implemented at the EPF or KWSP. Mostly the Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation, and also some governmental portals. Whereas in the US, the Department of Homeland Security, which is equivalent to our Home Affairs Department or Immigration Department, uses an AI known as Emma, which is a virtual assistant catering to immigration services. So this particular system, Emma, guides around 1 million applicants per month regarding the various services offered by the department and directs them to relevant pages and resources.
So Dr. Siah, what would be the potential benefits of AI integration for the Malaysian government, our economy and society?
A very good question again. So there are three sectors that I'm looking at. So this is actually, first of all, in relation to e-commerce cargo sector. So how can risky cargo be identified? Let's look at some other countries, such as in Canada. Actually, they use AI to actually check every piece using this particular method and also to reduce certain risky cargo. And they use this to feed data in order to assess all the risk that can actually detect certain anomalies and patterns. Second is the real property sector, in which, for example, in Singapore, they use AI to oversee unoccupied state land and properties. And this way, they can actually use drones, machine learning, and geospatial technology to remotely check utility levels and also confirm contractors' maintenance work and many more other items that is relevant to the real property sector. Thirdly, in relation to the justice sector, the Chicago police actually use machine learning to use this as a way to flag problematic police officers in order to help them to do better. Yeah.
So Dr. Siah, you kind of point out two, three case studies, right? But I wonder, I don't think we have basically fulfilled AI's potential fully in Malaysia. I guess what are the infrastructure challenges to really maximize its full potential?
Yeah, very good. The challenges are actually not only faced by Malaysia, but most of the countries in this region. So first of all is the lack of AI expertise. So shortage of talents in the market and also insufficient hiring budget. So in order to overcome this, there is a need to increase the ecosystem to attract top talents. And there's also a need to increase the budget. And most importantly, to have our own homegrown talent to proper education system. And other concerns include privacy, ethics, and lack of accountability, as well as mindset changes in certain communities and certain working groups as well.
Okay,
I hope this helps.
Yes, yeah. Which then begs the question, right? If we really want AI to be integrated, what kind of initiatives or policies should be in place to support research and development? And also this public-private partnership, right? How should we encourage collaboration between government, industry, and academia?
That's again a good question. So based on the Government AI Readiness Index, which is produced annually, Malaysia is ranked 31 out of 183 countries. Although we know that Singapore is actually top in the ASEAN, we are not ranking too badly. We are ranked number 2. So we have existing capabilities or infrastructures, and private public collaboration is really essential because currently AI is mainly utilized in the private sectors here in Malaysia. So also we need to incorporate both federal and state governments in order to realize this particular potential of using AI for good, especially in the public sector.
Now, Dr. Xia, there's been a lot of debate on this particular topic, but over here in Malaysia, what are the potential risks or concerns associated with AI integration, you know, such as job displacement or biases in AI algorithms? And how does our Malaysian government plan to address them?
Another $2 million question. So currently, not only Malaysia, but also other countries are struggling how to mitigate job displacement in the sense that how can we reduce this potential or real problem. So nobody has the real answer, but what can actually be done is that there is a need to have a detailed research to assess which employees are at most at risk of job displacement, especially by automation. And also there is a need to develop smart and targeted strategies to address potential future job displacement. You know, some of the jobs by waiters and waitresses already have been replaced in certain restaurants by some robots already. So this is a real problem. And also there is also a need to tap into certain research into alternative income and taxation models that result in fairer and distribution of wealth.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Say, you talk about job displacement, but, you know, the conversations on the impact of AI is much deeper than that. I mean, I watched the movie Terminator. People are so worried about the AI basically ruling our lives. I mean, is that overblown, these concerns?
Actually, of course, there is a certain truth in science fictions, but I believe that as human beings, we have evolved for the past thousands of years, and we as a human race, let's put it that way, in the universe, we have also the capability and adaptability of adjusting to the current environment. For instance, in the past, I remember when I was doing certain research, horses were actually used primarily as a form of transportation. We know in the 19th century, those Wild West stories, but does it mean that those cowboys are run out of job already? Not really. I believe they would have already found alternative or better jobs in the current environment.
All right.
I hope this answers your question. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time. That was Dr. Xia Chin Chin, Program Director and Senior Lecturer of Business and Law at Taylor's Law School, telling us about the, you know, potential benefits of the integration of AI into government and the importance of public-private sector public collaborations to actually ensure that we do it correctly. But my concern, of course, is always one of which is, you know, privacy.
Yeah. It's a very interesting point because, you know, NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang, he was at NTU Taiwan, and he said that those without AI expertise will be left behind. So I think you have to ride this bandwagon.
Yes. How can we actually benefit from it? Up next, of course, the Breakfast Grill, where Shazana Mokhtar speaks to Dr. Robert Wade, Professor of Political Economy and Development at the London School of Economics. Up next, the 8 a.m. News Bulletin. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.